Your daily dose of Donna. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, April 15th. Is it still tax day on April 15th? I never remember. We have a huge, huge breaking news day today. It really is a manic Monday. We have a divorce. We have a baby. We have a firing. We probably have like 15 other things that we got to get into all on today's Daily Dose of Donna. Good morning. Happy Monday. I'm so happy to be here with you all. Welcome. Welcome. Oh my goodness. You guys, how was your weekend? Did you have a nice weekend? I had such a chill, mellow weekend because it was disgusting here in Los Angeles. It was rainy. It was cloudy. It was cold. We got a baseball game in right before the rain started on Saturday. We got a date night in on Friday night. And then Saturday, like for the rest of the day, we just did nothing. And kind of yesterday as well, which is honestly maybe my favorite days out there. Maybe, you know, the days where you have nothing to do and you can just like binge watch TV, which I'm going to tell you guys about what I watched this weekend. So much. So Lance and I first, we watched both parts of the Steve Martin documentary. If you have not watched this, please go find this documentary. I want to say it's on Apple TV or Max. It's one of those. Okay. I love Steve Martin. I've always like just had a thing for Steve Martin. I think he's probably everyone's childhood. He just makes me happy. I always have felt like he's like a Tom Hanks to me, but mostly, you know, he's just always bright and happy and sweet and kind and funny. And what's your favorite movie? Like, if you think about a lot of your favorite movies over the years, so many of them have Steve Martin in it, right? Like Parenthood, House Sitter. Please tell me you've seen that banger. House Sitter with Steve Martin and Goldie Hawn. One of the best movies. What else like really reminds me of my childhood with Stevie? I mean, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. There's so many. Three Amigos. The Jerk. So I've never seen The Jerk. I really got to see it. Anyway, the first part of this documentary, they're each like 90 minutes. So it's going to take 2 days probably for you to finish it. But the first part is all his old footage and all his old career. I had no idea that Steve Martin used to be the biggest stand-up comedian in the world. Like he was the top stand-up comedian. He couldn't go anywhere without getting mobbed. This is in the 70s. I had no idea. And his story is so crazy because like he didn't really have any ins or connections. His parents definitely didn't really support him. Like it's unreal. He really, truly did this all on his own. I've never seen such a hustler. Like he hustled. He just constantly pivoted until he figured it out. And then he was at the top of his game, selling out arenas, selling out like huge audiences, stand-up comedy, and then never did it again. Just decided not to do stand-up again. And then went into acting, and that's where, you know, all the movies. Yes, yeah, so many good ones, you guys. Roxanne, King Tut, Father of the Bride, My Blue Heaven. I'm going to have to watch a lot of these. Obviously, I've seen Father of the Bride, but I haven't seen King Tut or My Blue Heaven. I definitely have seen Roxanne. Like when I was a kid, I watched that movie, and I really thought that was his nose. Anyway, the second part of the documentary is now. And this is my favorite one because he's such an interesting character to me or an interesting person. He's 75. He said, I lived my life backwards. I was in my early 30s, riddled with anxiety, beyond anxious, stress, melancholy. And now I'm in my mid-70s and I am as happy as I can be, which is like usually opposite, right? Usually you start your life like more happy and free, and then you get older and you become like a curmudgeon. It's the opposite. He also is married to a younger woman. She's not that much younger, but she's significantly younger who he met. She's a fact checker for the New York Times or the New Yorker or something like that. And she had to fact check one of his articles, and that's how they met. He like wrote an essay for the magazine. That's another thing. I had no idea he was such a writer. I really didn't. I had no idea. He created and writes Only Murders in the Building. How did I miss this? I thought he was just an executive producer, just like slap his name on there because he's a big star. He also is in the middle of doing this tour with Martin Short when they were filming this documentary. And I just love him and Martin Short together. I just loved it. Okay. I also watched last night a comedy special by Alex Edelman. He is so funny. It's Jewish humor to a T. It literally, the entire thing is about him being Jewish. And it's on, I'm bad at this. Maybe Netflix, maybe Max. I don't know. But he is, the premise of this set is he's a Jewish, Jewish kid in New York City that decides to go, he gets tweeted at from like white supremacists. And he decided to like go on one of their Twitter accounts and see that they were holding a whites only meeting in Queens. And so he decided to go to like basically a white supremacist meeting as a Jew. Oh my God. It's so funny. It's a wonderful, wonderful show. So go and check that out if you want to laugh a little bit. And then I watched almost all of Selling Sunset. I'm sorry, Selling the OC season 2, because I know Selling the OC season 3 is coming out soon. And I'm almost caught up on the season of Below Deck. So Jill Zarin did it. Jill Zarin got me into Below Deck this season. I love Below Deck, but for whatever reason, I'm not like, because it changes so much the characters that you don't really, I don't find this need to like catch up and watch, but now I'm in. I'm in and I am all in. That's it. I'm in and I'm all in. You guys, you will be so happy to know that I basically have no ads this week. Okay. So it's a bummer for me, but it's a positive for you. A lot of you guys are saying that you like my hair today. And honestly, all I did was just use a ton of Lola V products. Lola V. And you know, Lola V was a sponsor for Daily Dose. And I'm sure my code still works there. So go to Lola V and use my code. Now I can't remember if it's Daily Dose or Donna, but go and check it out. Thank you so much for all your comments. We've got some big stories. I say we get right into it. How about that? Number one, we have a huge breaking news this morning. Alexia and Todd from Real Housewives of Miami are going to be donezo. They're going to be donezo. And I'm not really exactly sure why, but we do know that Todd has filed for divorce, which I'm actually kind of shocked over. I thought surely she was going to file for divorce if anyone files. But according to Page Six here, Alexia Nopola's husband, Todd, files for divorce after only two years of marriage. You guys, this happened so fast. He filed for divorce on April 11th. So last week, Thursday or Wednesday, I can't remember, court filings obtained by Page Six. The real estate broker claimed in the filing that their marriage is irretrievably broken. Another irretrievably broken marriages. This is giving Kim Zolciak, just saying. The documents also note that the now estranged couple signed a prenuptial agreement on December 10th, 2021. Right? However, the details of the prenup remain confidential. She has yet to respond to the divorce petition, and no one is responding for comment. On Valentine's Day, she basically had said, you know, this is the love of my life, no matter what, through thick and thin. So you guys are asking some questions on the side. What do you guys think in terms of why they filed for divorce? So cheating is a thought. I think, I'll tell you something. I think cheating, but it's not the cheating that you think. I think Todd is a shady person. You know, I hate to give it to Adriana, right? Because the last thing I really want to do is say Adriana was right. But when you're right, you're right. And watch next season, Adriana and Alexia are going to be like this. I didn't mean like this. They're not Kyle and Morgan, but they're going to be like this. I think Todd is a shady, mean, curmudgeon-y, egotistical piece of shit. And I'll tell you, like, I don't really know a lot about him. I don't follow him on social media. I just know what you guys know and what you guys have seen too. So unless, you know, you maybe have some insight of stuff that like I'm not aware of, but I just know there's a few red flags for me with Todd. Number one, the whole real estate buying and selling, I mean, renting versus buying, very confusing to me. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care. Like, it doesn't make any sense to be a perpetual renter when you have a lot of money. There is, I can't imagine, unless you're only there for a short amount of time and you know that you're moving somewhere else. Even Tom Schwartz on this upcoming episode of Vanderpump Rules will talk to Tom Sandoval about how crazy it would be to invest $6,000 a month in a home that he has no, like, it won't be an asset to him. He's not buying it. So if Tom Schwartz can even understand that, and I understand if you rent because you don't have the money to put down a down payment, but these people are renting at like a crazy amount per month, it really would be strange that they wouldn't have a down payment. So that's number one. Number two, let's get into the whole apology Instagram to Nicole's husband, boyfriend. Nicole's, now I can't remember his name. He's like, so not really, is it Anthony? He's like, not really that significant on the show. We don't see him a lot. I don't think it's Anthony. Nicole Martin's boyfriend's baby daddy's name. Okay. They had this like big fallout over a comment that Todd made, and then he had to apologize, but he apologized on this Instagram video that went on, and he posted this. So this is public, and it went on for like 10 minutes long. Okay. Red flag number two, a huge red flag in this last couple seasons of Miami. Anthony, it is last season. Two seasons ago, so not the season that just ended. Do you remember that Alexia's son, Peter, so she has Peter and she has Frankie. And Peter is the older boy that's had definitely some issues. He's like kind of a troublemaker, kind of a, you know, in and out of all the, you know, he just seems like it hangs with the bad crowd, has a little bit of an attitude. Do you remember when he and Todd like went at it? That's a red flag. I understand that Peter is not the greatest in the world and the most respectful and kindest son, but my new husband or my fiance at the time or whatever, I don't even remember it, like what their status was at the time. You're not going to yell at my son that way. That's just like disgusting to watch. Next, I never felt like he cared that much about Frankie. Just saying, I know Frankie struggles, but I never felt like a general, like real true love from Todd. And then this last season, when he didn't show up at the party at his own apartment, they had a party. First episode, Alexia threw it, and Todd didn't want to go. He stayed like downstairs in some sort of a, you know, I don't know where he was, but like he was in the building or something, but didn't come to the party. That is really weird. I do not know. I don't know exactly what else was going on behind closed doors. But Alexia never gives off a sense of being in like secure and calm and confident and stable in her marriage. It's always very defensive, right? She's very defensive, and the defensiveness and the very quick to be like, you're wrong about Todd, if anyone says anything, it's feeling a little bit of overcompensation. It's feeling a little bit of, yeah, I mean, I think that when you have someone that you know is a red flag, like if you're married to a dirty John, Louis, if you're married to one of those, you're going to like fight for them extra hard. Whereas if you know you're married to a good man and people out there are talking shit, you just say like, whatever, like keep talking shit. Doesn't matter, which makes me question Robin Dixon because that's what she does. We'll get to Potomac in just a moment. Very defensive of Todd, very quick to get mad if anyone calls Todd bad or anything. I don't like, I didn't like him. He didn't give me a warm feeling, a warm fuzzy feeling at all. And he was not in this last season, as Michelle said, he was not in this last season whatsoever, pretty much, which is just a bad sign. When you have a woman who's a housewife and she's actually married on the show, and especially newly married, and the whole storyline that she had was like having to move and find a new apartment and this and that, and she's doing all of this alone, shady, right? Alexia had two storylines this season, basically. It were it, like her personal storylines. It was getting Frankie more independent and like teaching him how to kind of, you know, do things on his own, and then getting a new apartment. Those were her stories, right? Am I missing something? I mean, she had drama with the girls, but I think those were her stories. And Todd was not present for both of those. And those are two things that you would do with your boyfriend, husband, dad, whatever. Anyway, I'm not sad about it. I'm just kind of surprised he filed. I thought for sure she would. But I looked at her Instagram and she's posting these like pictures of her with her girlfriends last night in some gorgeous dress and happy birthday and this and that. So is she just like kind of living her life as if everything's fine? Is she sad? Does she not care? Is she over him? I mean, that's what I really want to know. So we'll have to see. We'll have to see. But another one bites the dust. And I'm not sad about it, but I do wonder next season when they do come back, are they going to end up, is she going to be besties with Larsa, the two newly single girls on the town? On the town. Like just, you know, doing their thing. We'll have to see. All right, next story, a big story. Let's talk Real Housewives of Potomac, like so much. Oh my gosh. Look, I have to be 100% honest. The reunion was not interesting to me. All three parts even were not interesting to me. I mean, I think it could have been an email. I'm not joking. Like, did anyone find the reunion episodes to be just groundbreaking? In last night's episode, I thought the Mia, I should say, out of all of the reunion conversations, but I didn't think anything was like that exciting or interesting by any means. This last episode focused a lot on Gordon and Mia. At the beginning, Gordon shared with everyone that he has been struggling with bipolar. He got diagnosed with bipolar 1, I believe is the actual diagnosis. And it was a really nice, vulnerable moment. I like when men, specifically men, can talk honestly about, you know, struggles, especially mental health struggles. It looks like Mia has been great to him and there for him. They have a really interesting dynamic. It's like she's cheating on him. She has another lover who possibly thinks he's the father of their children, but like Gordon's cool with it. It's all very confusing to me. This is a fake tattoo if you're watching the video, because, you know, I needed to be like Kyle Richards, and now I have two. I'm going to test Lance later. How many fake tattoos do I have? You don't even know. You don't even know. Didn't care so much for the reunion. I didn't find anything super interesting. What I did find interesting is everything we've found out since. So we all had suspected, but it's official. Robin Dixon was fired from the show. And she talked about it, of course, on her own podcast, which is how she does all of these things. And it's like, what can you do? This is the way she is. She was fired. And she said, and this is 8 seasons. I mean, she was on season 1. And she said, I will not be returning to season 9 of The Real Housewives of Potomac. The network did not invite me back. I was fired, for lack of better words. It says that she was on the verge of tears as she expressed her gratitude to the production team behind the series, while also giving a shout out to our co-star and podcast co-host, Giselle. I just really appreciate the time and the opportunity that I had on the show, Dixon went on. It was such a fun, amazing, stressful, crazy, wild journey. Though the pair will continue co-hosting their podcast, Dixon said that she hates that part of their friendship is not there anymore, as they will no longer be starring on the series together. Yeah, that's going to be a little bit weird, you guys, how you can... Yeah, it's going to be really interesting how the two of them can, you know, separate and then be on the same podcast still. It's going to cause some weird stuff. It's giving Teddy and Tamara a little bit in that way, right? Because there's no way that Robin's not going to be jealous of Giselle. And then I also wonder is like, who's Giselle going to hang out with if he's not with Andrew? Can we do a nail check? They're still long. I just don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens. Okay. Meanwhile, Candace, more exciting news, way more exciting news than Robin being fired. Because wait, by the way, we've never talked about this, but this came out last week, I think 2 weeks ago, when the news of Robin getting fired came out. Christina Applegate, you know, star of Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter is Dead. That's like Christina Applegate in a nutshell for me. Of course, Married with Children. And then more recently, is it called Dead Like Me? Love her. Love Christina Applegate. She actually is in a podcast. She is co-hosting a popular who both of them have MS. And she came out, I want to say, at the Emmys. It was at the Emmys this year where she walked out with her cane and she spoke and she had a standing ovation. It was wonderful. She posted a couple weeks ago that she was in shock and devastated that Robin Dixon was fired. Because according to Christina, Robin is the best housewife on Bravo, which makes me wonder, does Christina watch Bravo? I have yet to meet one person other than the Queens of Bravo Instagram account that thinks Robin is the best housewife. What is happening? Like, what has Robin ever given? And I've watched almost every single season of Potomac minus two. What has Robin given other than, you know, I don't know, kind of like a sleepy dead face. She's just kind of there, but not really there. Her husband, Juan, brings the drama, but Robin brings nothing. I don't get it. I don't get it. Okay. Let's get back into it. So Candace is pregnant. Candace finally has announced her pregnancy. According to Entertainment Tonight, she is 13 weeks. Actually, she said this, so I'm not even going to say according to. I mean, it's confirmed. 13 weeks and 3 days as of this interview that she announced it. We don't know if it's a boy or a girl. We know that it was an IVF pregnancy. She seemed so happy. She said, we were never going to find a time that we were all, you know, that we were going to be 100% ready. I'm so happy that she decided to do this because I noticed on the reunion, and I don't know when they actually filmed the reunion. I don't remember the exact date, but she was probably pregnant then. I'm assuming she was pregnant then. And she kept saying, like, we're almost there. We're waiting for the time. We're waiting for the time. There is never, ever the right time to have a child. Because even when you perfect house with the perfect setting, with the money in the bank, with the, you know, all the things, like all your ducks in a row, it's still going to be completely, you know, it's going to uproot your entire life. And so for me, I like to believe that, I don't know, I like to believe that when you do get pregnant, you'll make it work for most people, I think. Like, I don't know if I was ready. Was I ready to stop my routine of waking up and going to the gym right when I woke up and then going to Coffee Bean and sitting and working at a Coffee Bean and then going to my, like, no, I wasn't ready for any of that. I was devastated when I realized that I had to, like, wake up and deal with a baby and not go to the gym when I first had a baby. Like, I'll never forget that. But she finally, you guys, stop with the microphone. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Okay, what if it's too close to me? I don't know what that means. It's not syncing up. Okay, a lot of people are having issues with streaming today. That's what someone said. So maybe. I don't think it's the mic because sometimes the audio is very slightly lagging the video. So it's a StreamYard issue. Good to know. Okay. Wow, today's YouTube is going to, you know, my podcast ratings are going to go down because of today's episode. Today's episode is going to take my show to a lower level. If I lose subscribers for today, I'm suing StreamYard. I'm hiring Bethany. I'm hiring, what is it? Frankel, McSweeney, Glanville, Stowers to sue StreamYard for my lack of audio syncing. Okay. Focus. I have ADHD a little bit, you guys. My brain is all over the place. Let's keep going. So I'm very happy for her. She's pregnant. She's taking a break from the show, which is actually wonderful. I don't think she was fired. I think she decided to go on break, and it's probably for the baby and for the pregnancy, which to me feels like a beautiful, wonderful idea, wonderful thing. So congratulations to Candace and Chris Bassett. We are hearing rumors that NECA is also being let go. This is according to a couple different Instagram accounts, the Jasmine brand and the Talk of Shame. I don't know if it's true. I have not yet seen anything confirmed. Until I get confirmed, I will not confirm it. But I will say that if she does get let go, I'm okay with it. In fact, add Ashley to the mix. Add Ashley to the mix. I would like next season. I want Kiarna back. I want it to be Karen. I'm okay with Giselle now that she doesn't have Robin. Karen, Giselle. I want Candace. Karen, Giselle, Wendy, who I'm like, Mia, Kiarna. Give us like five more girls in there. We need a whole new round of peeps. Either way, if she gets let go, you know, maybe now she can focus more of her energy on getting pregnant and drinking champagne in the morning. I don't understand. We never talked about that. Like, well, maybe we did talk about that. She was drinking champagne every morning. That to me is like a problem. It's not Sunday, right? You're just waking up and drinking champagne with your vitamins. Oh, I want to get pregnant today. Maybe let's not do it that way, right? Let's not. Okay, let's move on. Coachella happened this weekend, weekend one. Did you guys know you can watch Coachella on YouTube? All the shows, all the stages, you can watch them live. And then I think the next day they cut it up and you can just watch one show at a time. Why do we need to go? I have no interest whatsoever to go to Coachella unless I am like Teresa and Louis. Yes, you heard me right. Teresa and Louis somehow got into the ultra VIP of Coachella because there was a picture with Teresa and Louis and Taylor Swift. Yes, you heard me right. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift took a picture with Teresa Giudice Ruelas. And the question is, do you think Melissa is jealous? Because you know Melissa's daughter is a fan of Taylor Swift. They have to be, right? They're all these girls are fans of Taylor Swift. I need to know, did Teresa know it was Taylor Swift? Or did Taylor Swift know it was Teresa? Which one knew which one? And also Rachel Hollis. And also, I'm curious. Andrew, my doser Andrew sent me a DM over the weekend saying, She went up to her and she was like probably like quoting different song lyrics and like that said everything wrong. Oh my God, we were laughing so hard. What did he send to me? I said that she probably went to Taylor and she's like, I think karma was written about me. Can't you see Teresa doing that? When you sing karma, it makes me think of my family, my brother. He and his wife, they have karma coming to me. They have karma coming to them because of the way they've treated me. Andrew said, he goes, I love that Teresa goes up to her and says, I love that song you sing, coming in like a wrecking ball. Can't you just see Teresa doing that? It's so good. And Louis had the most disgusting, strangest video that he posted. And it was a selfie video. And if you find this, I actually wish I had it ready because I would show it to you. But it's Louis filming himself. It's like a selfie video. And he's in the... And he's like... chewing his gum. Ew. Next divorce, I think, will be Louis and Teresa. If we had to guess one more divorce that's going to happen, I think it would be Louis and Teresa. We'll have to see. Okay, so also at Coachella, I mean, there was like other things that were there, but no super interesting. Oh, my friend Shannon ran into Lala and Sheena. Lala and Sheena were at Coachella. You know, Lala was bumping it out with her belly. Sheena was Can you just imagine going to Coachella with Sheena? You know Sheena spent 3 hours on glam each day and hours, you know, just taking photos and videos of herself. Sheena has no idea who these bands are at Coachella. Sheena goes 1000% just for the pictures. And she even posted my Instagram husband about Brock. Like, he took 15 million videos and pictures of her the entire time. And he wasn't in one. Let's see if I can find a video of it. I'm sure she posted it. There was the most awkward video I had ever seen. And it was of Sheena and Lala and a few other girls. I can't remember who else was in it. And they were doing some dance. Like in there, oh, is it here? This is the four of them. I don't know if this is going to be the dance, but it was really, really, truly awkward to watch. This is the four girls. I mean, look, these girls are gorgeous. I want to say this one was the one that was working out with them that day. This Jenna girl, Miss Jenna Willis, but I could be wrong. Elaine Kratner, I have no idea who that is. Sheena, I don't know. There's something about her that I'm like, she spent 6 hours in glam just for Coachella, which just immediately bugs. Here she is with Lance Bass. And like, Coachella is not easy. Like, you have to walk around and you have to do a lot and it's like dusty. So I guess she didn't post that video. Who did post it? Maybe Lala posted it. Let's check it out. If Lala was smart, she would remove the video because it was pretty bad. I don't see it here either. Okay. But they were all doing some sort of dance. It was awkward. However, according to my friend Shannon, who's a normie just like us, she said that Lala is so nice, spoke to her for so long, like way longer than she needed to because like she didn't know who this woman was. And she thought she was the sweetest, like nicest person ever, which makes me happy. Ariana was also at Coachella, but with her boyfriend. I've not seen any photos or videos of Ariana with Sheena. I know that Ariana was with Dana, who is, of course, Katie's co-host. I don't believe Sandy was at Coachella at all. I don't think Tom Sandoval was there whatsoever. And I also would never go to Coachella. I really don't. I don't get it personally. I also am not really into any of these bands. Like even No Doubt, I didn't think it was that great. Just being honest. Just being honest. But it was a fun. It's a fun time always to see the photos. We also have Weekend 2 next week, so we'll have to see. You know who's going to show up next week? I don't know if there's going to be any. I don't even know like who's performing next week. Does anyone care? Are we too old? I think I'm too old for all of this. I'm just not interested in Coachella. Anyway, it was a Bravo heavy morning today. And I'm sure new stuff will be coming out every day. Meanwhile, Potomac is over. I'm okay with it. I can't wait for the next season of Jersey coming out. Michelle earlier said in the comments that Bravo has, or old school Bravo is on Peacock today, including there is the season of Real Housewives of DC, the one and done season. That is an amazing, amazing season of TV. So if you haven't watched it, go and watch it. It looks really good. That's like good background TV. I always want that kind of stuff just on the background. I find it, it gives you something to do while you're feeling sad about the state of the world today. You could just watch Real Housewives of DC and remember how a real housewife snuck into, what was it? What was the event? It was like the big event at the White House. She snuck in. I'll never forget. Oh my God. Michelle says also Rachel Zoe. The Rachel Zoe show is on Peacock and NYC Prep. This is going to be amazing. So on the Rachel Zoe show, it was the White House press dinner. Thank you. On the Rachel Zoe show, is it season one? So Brad Goreski, of course, is her assistant in that first couple seasons. It's amazing. And then Taylor, she had an assistant named Taylor who I have no idea where she is now, but I went to high school with her. So it was so crazy to watch it. Can't wait. I know what I'm doing today. I know what you're doing today. We're going to all have fun and watch all these shows. I love you guys. I'm so sorry about the tech issues, but thank you for sticking with me, all 440 of you here today. Make sure to subscribe, please. We're so close to getting to 14,700 followers, subscribers here on YouTube. I really want to get to 15,000. I need to get it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Thank you guys for being here, and I'll talk to you mañana. Bye.